Job 19, 23 to 27. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him, and with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
John chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world.
Well, let me welcome you as well, especially if you're joining us for the first time or watching us at home. If I haven't met you before, my name is Frank. I'm a vicar here at St. Matthew's. I hope I will get an opportunity to say hello to you, perhaps at the door as you head off. But thank you for joining us. And can I start by asking, how are you feeling? How did you feel as you heard the news that Her Majesty the Queen had died? As the news spread on Thursday, many people said they were surprised how much it affected them, and maybe they hadn't realised that it would. Some said they felt a little bit silly, really, to find that they were shedding some tears. After all, they told themselves, this is not my mother, not my grandmother, not someone I really know personally. I've never sat down and had a conversation. And yet, for many people, it felt as if she was a mother or a grandmother, an ever-present part of our lives over many, many years. Most of us, as we've said, couldn't remember anyone else in that role. And perhaps we've taken it for granted. We've got used to it. Other world leaders and influential people come and go. But Her Majesty offered that sense of stability. And in that very personal way that she led, we all came to feel, perhaps, some sense of connection with her. She's been a symbol of continuity and calm at times of crisis for the nation for a long time now. And I guess also as we think of her family, as we empathise with them, as our heart goes out to them losing a mother, a grandmother, a member of their family, many of us will find ourselves remembering times when that has happened to us and thinking of loss in our own family, and that will make it an emotional time for us as well. Some of you may have seen on TV a moment when a member of St. Matthew's Church, Archie Ferguson, who's now in London, now a Chelsea pensioner, was chatting to an interviewer on camera and couldn't hold it together and broke into tears. He was trying to explain that he was pleased that Her Majesty had not had to suffer a long illness in her own age, in her old age, as his own wife Jenny had suffered. And that thought brought him to tears. Well, that, I think, is something many of us will have felt in the last few days. And we feel that, really, almost whatever our views and opinions are. As I've got to know people in Cambridge over the years, I've discovered there's a whole range of attitudes to royalty. Some are passionate enthusiasts and follow every story when it comes up on the news and can't find out enough about the royal family and love to get the flags out and put the bunting up and join in with that British tradition and feel a deep affection for it. And there may be others who normally pay much less attention to these things and perhaps have quiet reservations about the way we do things in this country. And I've even met people who have quite strongly held views and really would like to see things done differently and don't like the Constitution as it stands. They're not convinced it's the best or the fairest way. But whatever our views on that sort of spectrum, there does seem to be a great deal of compassion for the royal family at this time, a great deal of respect for the hard work and dedication of Her Majesty as a person, and a sense that this really is a change that affects everyone, whoever we are. And I want to ask the question, how can her faith help us at this time? Now, not everyone shares her faith. And we love to welcome people at St. Matthew's, whatever your views or faith, people of all faiths or none. We often, in fact, we almost always have people with us who wouldn't consider themselves to be committed Christians. And yet she found her faith helped her. And it would be worth, I think, a few moments for us to think about why that was and how that was. So Her Majesty had 15 prime ministers, 15 UK prime ministers, many more in other countries. She spent an hour a week alone with them. And we are hearing a lot about what they thought of her at the moment, but what you will never discover is what she thought of them. We'll never know that. We can only guess. She kept quiet about it, rightly so. But what she was much more open about and much more happy to talk about is what she thought of Jesus Christ. So, for example, in 2017, she said that Jesus Christ lived obscurely most of his life and never travelled far. He was maligned and rejected by many, although he had done no wrong. And yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them, she said. I am one of them. So what does that mean for us? Well, I think briefly, three things. I think firstly, it means we can give thanks. We can give thanks. We can give thanks for her life, for her devotion to serving others in a role, after all, that she didn't choose and perhaps in her younger years wouldn't have even expected. She's been the longest serving monarch. Apparently, it's more than 23,000 days, 50 hours a week, on average, well into her 90s, showing tireless perseverance. We can give thanks for her perseverance, her hard work. We can give thanks for her character. Political commentator Andrew Marr said that there are no reliable recorded incidents of the Queen losing her temper or using bad language or refusing to carry out a duty that was expected of her. At the Trooping of the Colour in 1981, she was on her horse and six shots rang out and she just calmly carried on riding and made sure that her horse stayed calm and patted it and soothed it as she carried on. Turned out to be blanks, but of course she didn't know that. An intruder broke into her bedroom in 1982. Apparently she sat him down on the bed and kept him chatting for quite a time until someone came to help, and people asked her, well, how did you manage to stay so calm? And she said, well, you've got to realise I spend most of my time holding conversations with complete strangers. So... She received thousands of letters from all sorts of people. Someone called Albert Symes apparently sent her a Christmas card every year from 1952 to 2011. When he finally got the chance to shake her hand and his name was introduced to her, she smiled and said, oh, you're the one who sends me those lovely Christmas cards. When the cards stopped coming, she asked her team to find out more and sent a note to his grandson. It is with much sadness I have learned of his passing and extend my condolences to you and your family. So we can give thanks for her character, for her perseverance in her role. I think we can also give thanks that a woman has served in that role so publicly and for so long. And many younger women in the last few days have been saying how helpful it has been to them to have such a high-profile, significant figure in world affairs who is a woman. Apparently in 1998, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia stayed at Balmoral Castle with her. And she asked if he'd like a tour of the estate, and he said yes. Now, of course, back home at that time, women were not allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, so he may have been surprised when he sat in the passenger seat and she got into the driving seat. and took off at full speed. Apparently, he asked her to slow down and keep her eyes on the road. It's not clear that she took any notice of that advice. And on her 21st birthday, she said these famous words, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. God help me to keep my vow." Now, many of us here believe in the power of prayer. Others may be yet to be convinced about prayer, but here, at least, is one prayer that looks very much as if it has been answered after a long perseverance in that role. And this brings for me to mind some words from the Bible, from the book of Revelation. "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." It's a wonderful thing, the Bible is saying, to reach the end of our lives and to die, as it says, in the Lord, as someone who has a relationship with the Lord Jesus, someone who knows him and trusts him. And when that happens, well, we rest from our work, we're with him forever, but also our deeds and our lives follow us. And there's much in the Queen's life that commends her faith and expresses her faith. So that's the first thing. We can give thanks because of her faith. We can give thanks for her life. But then secondly, we can give thanks and we can also take comfort. We can also take comfort as her family mourn a personal loss, as we as a nation mourn loss, not just of the Queen, but of others that are in our thoughts, in our minds. We can take comfort because of the faith that she had. Here's something she said in December 2000. "I, like so many of you, have drawn great comfort in difficult times from Christ's words and example." The message of Christianity for her was one that she took comfort from, and we too can take comfort. I don't know whether the Queen's speech was a part of your Christmas day at home, whether that featured occasionally or regularly. So often in those speeches, she reminded us that the story of Christmas is about a God of comfort, a God who comes into the world. So not a God who looks from a distance at all of us suffering and struggling and finding life difficult and going through grief and sadness and losing those close to us. He doesn't just sort of watch and know nothing about it, just kind of cold and indifferent and far away. This is a God who, according to the Christian faith, stepped into our world, became one of us, was born and lived the life of a human being with all its joys and all its struggles and all its sadnesses. Here is a God who, as Jesus Christ, stood at the graveside of a friend, his friend Lazarus, and shed tears. One of the shortest verses in the Bible is also one of the most important verses in the Bible, John 11, verse 35. It says simply, Jesus wept, weeping at the power that death has over humanity, weeping at our helplessness in the face of death, and weeping at our inability to see that he brings hope and help in all of that. Not only did God come into our world and grieve and witness death, but he came into our world and died himself. He came not just to live and teach and set an example and inspire us in how to live a good life. He was sent in this world first and foremost to die. To die for us, to die to rescue us, to die so that God gives us his mercy, his forgiveness, his love, so that even though we've fallen short, and all of us have let God down, none of us have lived the way that we should live and could live and that God commands us to live, we haven't been always full of love for God, we haven't always been full of love for others, and God sees that, and we don't deserve to be with him forever. We don't deserve those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," words that perhaps Her Majesty has now heard. from God in heaven. We don't deserve those words. We receive those words because of Jesus, because of what he's done, not what we've done as a saviour. Again, some more words from Her Majesty. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Or as the Bible puts it, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We all do wrong. But God has sent a saviour, a rescuer, so that we can have comfort. So he comforts us. He doesn't just put a hand around our shoulders. He knows what it's like to be us. He knows what it's like to struggle and to mourn and to feel sadness. He's been there. He's lived through it himself. And more than that, he's come to rescue us from it by restoring us to a friendship with God and giving us forgiveness and love and hope. So three things we can take help from the Queen's faith. The first is we can give thanks for her life. The second is we can take comfort from her faith. And the third is that we can find hope. We can find hope. In 2002, Her Majesty the Queen said, "I know just how much I rely on my faith to guide me through the good times and the bad. I draw strength from the message of hope in the Christian gospel." What did she mean? What is that message of hope? What is that word gospel? The word Christian gospel, the word gospel simply means good news. What is the good news that gives her and many people hope? She explained that at Easter in 2020. The good news of Christ's resurrection has been passed on from the first Easter by every generation until now. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose. And we can all take heart from this. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day, absolutely, this is the big event that completely changes everything. It may be for many people something we find difficult to believe, that could really have happened. But for many people, it's an event in history and something that has changed the future for all of us. Jesus said in these words, we had them read, they were actually also read at the funeral of Prince Philip and the Queen Mother. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" You see what it's saying? It's saying there that we can live even though we die. Of course, we will all die. Our lives are short in this world. None of us will be here forever. But we can have a life that goes on forever, Jesus said. He said that comes through Jesus. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." If Jesus is able to defeat death, if after his death he can be discovered alive again and seen again by lots of people, then he is able to offer that same gift to us. Real life, not just sort of floating around in a cloud in some sort of spiritual sense after we die. Jesus was seen alive again by his friends. He ate meals with them. He had long conversations with friends. He went on walks with them. And perhaps that gives us some sense of what is meant, of what it is that we look forward to in the resurrection, what eternal life might look like. And because of that, Jesus said, whoever lives by believing in me, whoever has that eternal life by their faith in Jesus, will never die. Of course, physically they will. But as a person, they will never die and will carry on forever. They will never die. And Jesus said, do you believe this? And that is a question for all of us, isn't it? Do you believe this? Just as the news was breaking on Thursday, I got a very short text from an excited member of my family, I won't say who, and it just said in capital letters, "The Queen is dead." And we replied, "Well, thank you so much for breaking it to us gently like that." And a short time after, I read an article written by a Christian with the heading, "The Queen is dead, or is she?" Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will never die, but as they meet Jesus face to face, they will be more alive than ever, more fully alive than ever before." And that is hope. For about 70 years we've been singing "God Save the Queen." And perhaps that is a prayer. I wonder if you've noticed that is a prayer. A prayer now that no longer needs to be sung because it's been answered. And what we now need to be praying is "God Save the King." And actually not just the King, but any of us and all of us. The question is still open for us, isn't it? As Jesus said, "Do you believe this? Will we put our trust in him and rely on him?" On her 90th birthday, the Queen wrote an introduction to a book, to a Christian book about her. And she said, "I invite you to join me in reflecting on the words of a poem quoted by my father, King George VI, in his Christmas Day broadcast in 1939, the year that this country went to war for the second time. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than life, better than light, and safer than a known way.'"